Is anybody there?
I'm here.
Howdy.
Howdy do. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Who do we have on today?
Everyone's here. I thought I was the last one to dial in, so let me stick my head out the door here. Are you there?
I'm here.
So, I was in Disney World this week for family time.
Yes. How was it?
If the Supernova thing ever doesn't work out, you become a Disney trip coach and teach people how to work that system. Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. The level of coordination that goes into a Disney trip now. It was good. It was good. My four-year-old loved it. It was nice to get away for a little bit. It was the first time, first time we've gotten her on a trip without her little sister or anything. So it was nice.
Right. Nice.
What have you been up to?
Playing golf, playing tennis, trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. I'm golfing on Friday today for the first time in 6 months. So that'll be cute. Yeah, I called in a favor to take two new clients out at a nice course. They're playing the Loxahatchee Club in Jupiter.
Nice.
We get a four caddy and everything, so it should be a good experience. I'm just hoping I need to get out and hit some balls beforehand so I don't, just go out there and tear up the grass.
Were you a player before?
No, I played baseball and volleyball and basketball. So I took up golf a little while back. And if I'm playing regularly, I'm playing in like the low 90s. And I've gotten into the mid 80s a couple times. I'm not horrible, but if I'm not, if I'm not playing regularly, I'll probably be out there closer to shooting 100-ish or something like that. But I'm trying to play a more controlled game. I'm a big guy, so everyone expects me to hit it 300 yards, and I won't even take my driver out of the bag, and I'll just play 3-wood and just try to stay in the middle of the fairway. So. It's hard, though.
Probably smart.
Yeah. Hey, Bear, are you there?
I'm here.
Larry, are you on?
I'm here. All right.
Larry's line's lit up, so we'll start. Haven't been looking forward to this call too much. I have to say, we did not accomplish as much as we would have liked. Over the last 2 weeks. So we sat down today at lunch and discussed our business plan a bit. And I think you said you want a copy of that, correct, Rob?
Yes. I had your first attempts at it, and then you were going to redo it.
Okay.
And then send it to me, right?
Correct.
So I think we all have to catch up, because I haven't been good with the business plan. So I mean I did my first round, but I didn't update it from there.
Okay. So my question, Rob, is practice management workflow. Right now, when we're bringing clients on, is the same person supposed to be opening the accounts and getting the programs up and running, or is like the implementation supposed to be more like just kind of tracking what we're putting the people into? Like, how do you see, teams being most successful with that aspect of things?
Well, there's the paperwork, and then there's the personal relationship work.
Right.
So when you're filling out, new account forms and doing questionnaires for financial planning, I think it's very important that you guys do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is it's not just you don't just want information on a form. You want to know what's behind the information. You got to know your client, right? You got to know them. And if you have somebody else fill out the new account form, yeah, you got the information on the new account form, but you didn't have any conversation. So I think anytime you have a chance to have the client engage in meaningful conversations about their life, you should be present. Okay?
All right. I want your feedback on something else. We recently brought on a wealthy divorcee who's kind of getting into the investment process. She plays dumb, but she's actually quite sharp.
Yep.
And I had a meeting with her on last Friday.
Yep.
And the meeting went 3.5 hours.
Jeez.
And I literally, as I'm walking her out, I said, I need to ask you a serious question. I said, my business coach talking to me about meeting length and stuff, and I said, he thinks that we should be doing meetings in, I think I just said an hour or less. And I said, do you feel like I was keeping you hostage here? Or, could we have gotten through this any quicker? Or, I literally asked her, for very frank feedback. And she told me, she said, the only reason that we were ending the meeting is because she felt bad that I was leaving town the next day, and she could have kept me in there for another hour, hour and a half. So I was surprised she said that. But I actually ended up going home and doing some more work and sending her an email, and then she had to, she sent us back some more stuff. But, do you think that maybe I'm just trying to take on too many things in one session? Or,
Well, the first session that you and I have had at Supernova could have gone for 3 hours.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, good point.
Because you didn't know anything. And I knew everything. So now you know what you need to know, pretty much. And now it's a matter of exchanging updates and information and new information and interesting things, but we can get it done in 35, 40 minutes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is in the beginning, it can always go longer. But what you want to do is you want to limit the meeting to what you need to accomplish in that meeting and then schedule another meeting. Okay?
Okay.
They don't all have to be face-to-face. You can do a lot of this stuff on the phone. I believe you should have a face-to-face meeting or two face-to-face meetings, but you don't need 5 face-to-face meetings in a row.
Gotcha.
Okay. You're educating her on the world, and that takes time. That's why we do 12-4-2. I mean, look, I'm not there. I don't know. I mean, how much money does she have? Lot.
Yeah, 5 million. It's a good amount.
Yeah, it's a nice amount, and it's worth it to make her feel comfortable. So would I have done the same? Maybe. I'm not there. I don't know her. I don't know how naive she is. She plays dumb, but she isn't That means mm-hmm. she needs education. She needs education. She doesn't have a problem with her intellect.
Right.
So you're doing a lot more than building a portfolio and investing her money and doing financial planning. You're educating her.
Right.
So it's a different thing. That's why I say, you know, you can't have somebody else fill out the forms for you, because it's all part of your understanding where the client is in this process and how schizo they are, or how comfortable they are, or how relaxed they are, or how nervous they are. You got to know those things. So can somebody else then take the ball from you once you've got the forms filled out? You should never see them again? Yeah, that's right. You should never see them again, but other than maybe keeping a copy in your folder, because it's a good fact finder, right? But no, if all your first meetings go 3.5 hours, probably should have 2 meetings and make them each 50 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you have, I don't have 3.5 hours. I'm surprised you do.
Yeah. Other stuff gets pushed out of the way, but.
Yeah.
I think it just seems like with a 3.5 hour meeting like that, that it's on an initial meeting, I think you just have to be more lenient until you get some synergy with the client.
Yeah, she's not.
Also likes to play the stupid thing that you were talking about, where she doesn't know. She probably also likes the social. She's the type of person, I bet you, just enjoys going through it and enjoys the time. So
yeah.
You get some clients that are like that, where they enjoy the interaction.
It's because Ryan's got all the machismo.
She's a newly divorced person. She's, I can see it that way. I see it a little differently.
Okay. Rob, did we talk about, did we tell you that we sat down with our manager to discuss bringing on a junior partner type situation?
No. Uh-uh. Oh, wait a minute. Hired personal. No, not in my notes.
Okay. We met with our office manager. It might have been right after our last call, and discussed bringing on another assistant or another advisor. And the way that everything works at our firm, it seems much more beneficial to actually bring on kind of a trainee advisor, because we're able to compensate them in a much different manner, and they're also able to do a lot more than some of the assistants can do.
Yep.
And he basically told us that, you know, they very much would love us to take on a junior person and very much love to have the junior people get through their program, because I think that their compensation is now starting to get focused a little bit more on growing their own talent since people aren't moving around as much. Any thoughts you have for us on that aspect of things? Because we need more help, whether it's, you know, to get financial plans input and done, whether it's to get new managed accounts open, whether just whatever it is, and answering some of the inbound calls that we just don't have time for. What are your thoughts on that? Because we talked about not trying to acquire another advisor's practice right now, that would be maybe dilutive to our efforts. Do you think that we can bring on a junior person? As I see it as a potential to free up more of our time, and our biggest reason we're not doing Supernova correctly is because we don't have enough time, and we don't have enough time because we're not doing Supernova correctly by giving up more of our clients.
All right.
And yeah.
Here's what I would suggest. If you do that, you take it as seriously as a heart attack, meaning really interview for somebody that will be, that you all would agree would make a good partner forever. Okay?
Okay.
There'll be an FA in your group, and you take them on. Otherwise, you're cheating the system. And you're using the system, and it's going to end badly. Meaning your manager is dreaming and hoping that if you do this, it will actually turn out to be a good FA.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then you got to fire him, and then he's got turnover, and then it's not good.
Correct.
Okay. So you can't do it just to kind of skirt the system because it's easier than hiring a CA. So in hiring that person, hire somebody that you truly believe is a superstar. And that you'd be enthusiastic about bringing on. So you hire. I mean, that's why I turn. Real interns, not fake interns, but really good interns that you say, you know what, I want, go to the business school and say, I want your very best and brightest student, but your most articulate student too. Somebody that you think would be good in our business, Mr. Head of Business Department. And as an intern for, say, 2 or 3 summers, and then you've got somebody that you can say, hey, this guy is fabulous. Instead of going and working for Procter & Gamble or somebody else, come and work for us. And is really good, and you know they're good, because you've tested them for 3 summers. And then when that person comes on, then you hire another intern. With the hope that in 3 years you can hire him. Now you're running a little office, which is fun. If you like it. If you don't like it, don't do it. I mean, if you like training and developing people, like I did, it's fun. If you don't like it and you feel like it's a suck on your energy and your time, then don't do it.
We brought in an intern last summer, and it was not as productive as an experience as I think we would have hoped for. Do much. Like, they can't really talk to clients. Like, basically, they can, like, run reports for you, or they can file papers for you, or there's not a lot they can do. We were trying to get them to do some marketing, and, they can, like, stuff envelopes, but, like, they can't initiate anything.
Why not?
Because of the rules. It was stupid. Like, we're losing our mind.
What rule is that?
The rule that they're talking about is they can't allow them to do anything that requires a license, like call up and say, hey, invest in this manager or anything like that. That's the only thing. That's the only rule. That's the only true rule I understand.
No, me because too. Everything we wanted Kristen to do, they wouldn't let her do. They wouldn't give her access.
They wouldn't give her access to the computer on accounts. They wouldn't let her give her access to the marketing side of the equation as well.
Yeah, like they wouldn't let her into our company systems. It was crazy.
How can she work there and not be into your systems?
That's my point. Like, that's what was driving me nuts. Like they would let them like run like Morningstar reports if you like handed them stuff to do like data entry, but like they're not really like a functioning person on the team. And for the difference in price, if we're gonna go that route, because we have to pay them at least $10 an hour or $9 an hour or something, so we could get a registered assistant that wants to work part time for like $20 an hour if we wanted to.
Oh. Isn't that bizarre?
Yes. Everything about this place is bizarre, Rob. Like, we are like the poster children for what they want teams to be doing, and they don't even consider us a team for compensation. You know, like I've had my pay cut the same day I've received Paysetter awards for being top percentile in everything I'm doing, and what a great example of an advisor I am. And then by the way, here's your pay cut on the other side of the system. It's just nothing, you know, nothing aligns. I think I told you, I literally put 20% of my 401k into Morgan Stanley stock now because I want it back on the other end. I'm like, if you're going to screw me to pay the shareholders, I'm going to be a shareholder. Forget it. Serious.
No, I'm with you. It keeps
me sane, you know, and you told us get to 2.5 million. We want to get to 2.5 million, you know, and we can't cry over it anymore. We have to grow out of it is what has to happen. It's just it's been, you know. So if I could summarize where we are as a team, we know we need to make the changes. You know, we're standing on the edge of the pool, looking at the water, saying, damn, that water looks cold. And, you know, like, we know we need more time, and as we've had more time, we've brought in more assets. But the only way to get more time right now, quite frankly, is to start getting rid of people and potentially streamline operations a little bit, but it's really getting rid of people. I've, like, gone back and looked at where my time has been spent lately, and, like, ideally, you'd be spending, you know, a proportionate amount of minutes on the biggest clients. You spend more of your time, and it's not the case. You know, like, we're spending, you know, a third of our time on the bottom 10% of our book. You know, whatever it is. You know?
No, that's why I wrote the book.
Right.
I knew that. Right.
Right.
I mean, you can't avoid it. Even though people say, oh, I don't. They don't take any time. They just pay me a fee. Oh no, that's such a lie. I mean, they take time. They suck time from you and your assistant, and they can't pay enough because they don't have
the way. The way it tricks you though, because I've been thinking about this a lot, is that on a lot of those people in the bottom half of the book, you haven't talked to them in a while, so you don't think they take any time. But there's like every year, there's like a handful of them that have like these massive problems. So even though like you may not talk to, like, let's say you have 20 people in the bottom of your book, you may not talk to 10 of them hardly ever, but, you know, like, there's going to be 3 or 4 of them. They're going to have some major thing happen along the way, and then the next year it'll be a different 3 or 4 of them, and that's where it is. It's not like each one is taking up your time.
Right. No, I'm with you. And then you decide, yeah, I'm going to do a mortgage with one of them, and that just goes to hell.
Yeah.
So no, I did it. You know, I supervised it. I watched it, and you know, it was just a nightmare. So, okay. So back to your leverage situation. You can't have an intern that can't work. So that's off the table. So we're back to hiring a very capable, smart person who looks like an intern. Looks like a CA, but is really a financial advisor for the books. And so you do it. That's what you got to do. The system is not allowing you to do what I want you to do exactly. So you got to do what they tell you to do.
And, right. But what?
And then you just you do a good job. You just do a good job on that person. And if, you know, if things work out great, if they don't, then, you know, that's the cost of doing business for both of you.
Yeah, we hesitated on doing this because we didn't want to chew someone up and spit them out. And for management, management put it a different way, and they said, like, look, you're giving them a chance to succeed. If they're not running with it and they're not driven enough to succeed, that's not your fault per se. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're giving you an out. And look, the reality is, supervision today isn't the way supervision used to be. I mean, God bless you guys. I'm not sure I could. I would not.
Operate.
I could not. I may not. My brain would not like the system right now. And I like the freedom and the flexibility to be able to run a business the way I want it to. I think these guys, you got to just, you know, understand that they can't do the things that we used to be able to do. And so you just do the best you can. You know, it's still a great business and great system. You just have to work within the guidelines.
But
so my suggestion, I'd just say go with it. But put some time into hiring the right person. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
But do you think it's worth it to spend the extra money to get a second assistant? And – have
it's
a dedicated staff.
It's always worth it if you have the right person.
I'm just worried.
And I'm not so sure, Ryan, because this is the conversation that we were I've been struggling with. I'm not so sure that we need that. You know, if we can get more of a WAA,
door open.
It opens up the door. They can help out with paperwork. They can help out, quite frankly, a lot of what's on your plate. They can help out with what's on Christine's plate to a certain degree. But more importantly, we want them not to be doing necessarily all the grunt work, but we want them to do the grunt work and the presentations and meeting clients and doing more.
So advisor is more flexible. Is your door open, Larry?
No, it's not. I closed it.
Oh.
Yes. That's why I purposely closed it, so that we could talk openly.
Sorry, I was getting an echo. It sounded like you were standing outside my door. All right, so the flexibility is better to have, and it's also more financially beneficial. I'm just worried if we're taking a bottleneck and making the bottleneck worse by giving Christine more work, but if they are taking some of that...
They should have the capability, as we talk about Gail, she has the capability to do some more marketing and understands that better than Christine does, and that would be a direct focus for her, or whoever that person would be, whether it's even Hunter for that matter, not that I think he's the person, but most of them tend to be younger folks, most of them are much more computer literate than we are. And they just tend to have a better understanding of that because they go through the training course, they go through it, and they see all the tools and resources. That's all a new for them. We're seeing this stuff on top of everything else, on top of everything else we have, and we see it as a mountain of stuff that we have to conquer. They're excited about it.
Yeah, we're trying to hire not 40 or 50-year-old white guy, Rob, for the record.
You want a newly minted, smart person, you know.
Right.
Who
just
wants
make sure.
To work? A PhD, poor, hungry, and driven. That's what you need.
Do most of your, let's say your successful advisors, if you're thinking of, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the ultra successful people. I'm talking about people that are living real good lives and living the way they want to live their life. The people who go to the T-ball games and the people who do their morning workouts or whatever. How many hours a day are they working?
It's different today, you know, because people work when there's nothing else happening. So they tend to work different hours than, you know, when we were working, we'd go to work, we'd work at work, and we'd go home, and then we'd be with the family. So I might have put in more hours at work than today's modern person. But when I was done, there wasn't anything else that I did except think or prospect or do something, but it wasn't working on a phone or a computer. So it's different. I think there is a certain amount of time that you have to put in as a team, communicating, being there, sharing, accountability, etc. And I don't think people put in enough time anymore. I mean, the way I see offices when I go and visit and stuff, they're, you know, I shoot a gun through the office at 4:00 and you couldn't kill anybody. So, I don't know. It's, I don't care how long, I never did care how much time anybody put in. Sometimes the guys that work nights and Saturdays were just terrible producers, you know? So it's not time. It's effective time. take what you guys do, right? Now be a mom, okay? Where they call from school and say your son or daughter's sick and you got to go. I mean, you got
that actually is us, Rob. We are those people.
But you got to go, okay? So yeah, because wives are working. See, when I was growing up in the business, our wives stayed home. It was nice. So I could work. I didn't have to think about it. It's a different business now. So you have lots of leverage. You have things that you can do so much faster. But at the same time, you've got more demands on you than I had. So time is a funny thing. You know, I'm trying to – Supernova drives out all the insidious thieves of time, procrastination, phone tag, miscommunication, all kinds of crap, unnecessary meetings, too long meetings, interruptions. But at the same time, you're committing to being there for somebody on a regular basis, scheduled. And that's incredibly valuable in today's crazy, unscheduled world. So what you're doing is spectacular. You should get credit for it. And I think you will, over time, people will and do see the difference and value it and will refer business to you. But human beings are the same as they've ever been. It takes, remember the five-step process for learning something or being enthusiastic about something? Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. No matter what you do in today's modern world, you can't move a person faster than their brain will accept those stages.
Well, the curiosity, interest, belief.
Interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So when you're introducing a new product or service, you have to understand that your prospect or your client is going through a five-step process. You get them initially, I mean, just think about a prospect, right? You get them to the point where they're interested. Or they're curious, even curious, right? They're curious, then they're interested, and then you teach them why you're different. And then they finally slip to the belief stage. You all did that with Supernova. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief. And now most of you guys are at an enthusiastic stage. Somebody asks you about Supernova, you go, wow, it's fabulous. You know, it's great. I love it. You know, blah, blah, blah. Can't stop talking about it because it works. But not every, you know, other people aren't at that stage. So that's why I always said to people, don't give up on a
– Did we lose you? You there, Rob?
It was like in Ocean's 11. And the most important thing is...
I think the three of us are on, but Rob...
Yeah, we're all...
Yeah, I think he's going to dial back in.
I just got kicked off.
There you go. Yeah, so, and the most important part is click...
Right. The most important part is that you be patient and go back five times. I used to make it my five-time rule that it wasn't a financial advisor's responsibility to understand a product or service until I had presented it in five different ways. Okay. And so you can, I mean, think about it, right? I'm going to present it to you in a meeting, and then I'm going to present, I'm going to have an FA get up and talk about it. Then I'm going to come by in your office and talk privately with you. and then I'm going to maybe have a panel talk about the idea, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you privately again. Now, think about it. I must really believe in that, right? I wouldn't do that unless I thought it was in your best interest and it was going to be great for you, as long as you trusted me, right? And that's the way you have to be with your clients. So you can't give up on – people say to me, well, I presented the idea to this client, and he said he didn't need to be called, that many times. You know, just quarterly is okay. Well, that – think about it, right? Did he present it in five different ways to that client so the client would really understand the value of what he's selling? No, he just gave up after one time. And that's what most people do in the world of sales, is they give up after one time. And so your lady, your nice lady, wants 3.5 hours because her brain is going through this transition, and she's open to it. So it probably isn't a bad thing, but I'd rather see you give the story in five different times over time so that she hears it differently. But she's in a different place every time you talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part you got to understand, that you guys think about it, right? You're worried about a sick child. Are you really listening to the manager when he has a meeting? No, you're still at home with a sick child. So, I mean, you're not always in the best place to accept ideas.
Right.
But if somebody comes back to you and consistently presents it in a slightly different way, with a little bit better story each time, you're going to think, this guy really believes in this. Maybe there's something here. I better listen.
Excuse me.
So that taught me patience, because I'm a type A and I want everything done immediately. You know, I want all my goals reached instantly. I want everything right away. But once I understood that, it made me a much better leader and a better FA, I didn't even know that when I was an FA, of course. I just did what I did, you know. But I was a better leader because of it. I didn't do that with everything, of course, but when I believed in something and it was really important, I made sure that I had spent time with every person to the point where they had heard the story over and over. I think, and that applies, you know, to a lot of what you're doing. So when I present the 5-star model, I understand I can't be there to teach you and come back to you and be on your ass. But I can do it, you know, the best I can do is to be here and say it still works. It's still a good idea. You're going to make a hell of an impression on a center of influence if you present yourself using the 5-star model. It's going to be that much better than what anybody else they've done. So all the little things that we present with Supernova, taken together, create an amazing marketing tool for you guys.
Do you find people time block to address the stuff? Because of all the things that I do during the week, working on my 5-star role, there's no time that I have set aside for it. Like I don't have it in my calendar. I don't have it. You know, do you suggest people calendarize all of these things?
I suggest you put everything on a calendar. I think that the reason you do well with Supernova is because you're not in charge of it. So the more you can not be in charge of your calendar, the better you will do, both with meeting with centers of influence and building your, let's say you want to create a niche, right? And you say, I can't find the time to develop my niche. Well, just put it on the calendar as an appointment for that niche. And every time the folder should appear on your desk for that niche, and that should be blocked out on your calendar for an hour to work on that niche marketing idea.
But if you blow off that hour, it's only as good as if you're going to keep to it. Because if you blow it off because there's other things going on, then you're never going to get anywhere out of it.
That's right. But if you tell your assistant that you want that folder on your desk at 3:00 on Wednesday, and you don't do it, and you don't use that time, then pretty soon that folder's not going to appear anymore. And she's not going to think you're serious. Okay? So the other thing to do is to do it as a team. And just make an appointment with each other and just say, that's our time to work on niches. So we'll get our folders and we'll sit in the room and we won't talk. We'll just work on our niche. It's kind of like working out with somebody else. You're going to show up if you've got an appointment with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Or bring your assistant in and brainstorm with them.
Right, we're trying to ritualize everything because then we don't have to exert our willpower in order to do what we need to do since it's already programmed in for us.
That's right. You've got a limited amount of discipline. Everything else should be automated, should be part of a process, a ritual. It should require no discipline. So however it may, do bilateral contracts to work out or to work on a niche or to have your five-star model time, however you do it, just pick somebody else that is willing to sit with you or listen to you during that time, and you've got your appointment, and you do it. Because, look, it's not easy. None of this stuff is easy. You've got to work it out so that you understand what it is that you're trying to do. You're trying to do things that require discipline, and the more you can turn them into rituals, the more effective they're going to be for you. So just do it with one thing this week. Just put one new thing on the calendar that you think is really important that's going to get you to your goal. I'm going to work on my centers of influence, and I'm going to make an appointment for Wednesday at 3:00. And I'm going to include my partner, my buddy, my CA, somebody in that meeting, and we're going to talk about what I'm going to do.
Okay. I think we all can do that.
Yeah, I had one team that, I don't think it was you guys, but they used to make Wednesday. Was it you guys? Did you make Wednesday your center of influence day?
No.
Okay, I had one team that did that. I'm sorry, but I sometimes forget. But they just said, okay, Wednesday is going to be center of influence day, and they just all work on centers of influence that day. It made it kind of fun, They did pretty well with it. It lasted quite a while.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have a direct answer for this. You may not, but we cannot get an estate attorney to send us business. It's like trying to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for us. Like, and I've heard feedback from other people saying it's difficult because a lot of them get business from a lot of people and they don't want to stick their necks out and this, that, and another. But like, we all work down the hall from one of the most successful advisors in our complex. He just made managing director last year, and he brings in $60 million a year by himself. And I'd venture to say that probably $30 million of it is from attorney referrals. He used to be an attorney, so I guess they like that. And he's very knowledgeable, so I guess they like that. but like he's got to be getting fed from multiple attorneys.
Why don't you ask him?
I did.
What did
he
say?
He said in the past he's done some speaking at like attorney conferences to try to get them familiar with him.
Yep.
And he's done some presentations to attorneys groups. And then he also said he's a former attorney, so they dig that, you know, they get it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's a networking animal, I guess, but
is he a good guy?
I just don't get it, because he's a nice guy, but he's not the most personable guy, and he's not like a guy that a lot of people get along with, per se. He's actually kind of a pain in the ass if he doesn't agree with something. Like, he's one of those guys that he likes to bust the manager's balls in the meetings, you know, like, why am I going to refer a mortgage when they fucked up my deal 3 years ago? You know, like one of those situations. But,
yep.
But like he's always been kind to me, and he, you know, like if I ever question or whatever, like he's always willing to help me out, you know. But like,
right.
I just don't get it. You know, like I talk to a lot of people, and like when they meet him socially, it's like he's one of those people where you're talking to him, and you know his mind's on something else. You know, like he's just very sharp. You know, so I'm just trying to figure it out, you know? Like,
yes, the answer is yes. Some people do get a lot of business from introductions from networks. Okay, so you got my new book is out. Go get it and read it. Don't just read it. Read it like three times, okay? And read the section on creating mastermind groups and centers of influence. I want you to read it because this is the conversation I have with you from the book, okay?
Okay.
And I tell you how, and I give you stories of how people like this do it. And I interview them. So it will be a much more robust conversation once you've read the book.
Okay.
Okay. So it just came out on Amazon on February 6th, the last.
It's up digital or?
It's on Kindle.
Yeah. Very good. I can highlight passages and then you can go back and print out the passages you highlight.
No, I read everything on Kindle now. But so anyway, everybody do that. You'll like it. And you know, the fun thing is don't be afraid to give out the first book to people in business, because I have a doctor friend that I fish with, and he's reading the first book. No, he's reading the second book. I'm sorry. He's reading the second book because he was mentioning radical delegation. You know, I have this concept of radical delegation, giving away as much as humanly possible to somebody else, which is what we've been talking about today. And he said, you know, I always tried to get my partners to do this. He was an eye doctor in his business. And he said, I never could get them to do it. They thought they were the only people that could do this work and so forth. So I think, you know, these concepts of business apply to every profession and it can be helpful to them. And I think it can lead to some interesting conversations for you guys. So anyway, I throw that out there.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one other thing. Have you ever put groups or put teams together? Like, how many teams do you personally work with? Do you work with like 40 groups or 20 groups?
I had six today.
Okay. So let's say you work with 100 teams or something. I don't know how many.
No, I don't work with that many. Any time, any now. I only work 2 days a week, and you know, I do monthly and bi-monthly calls with some teams. I probably have now currently 30 teams. I'd say
okay,
about right.
Are there any teams like us outside of our like you know, like, I mean, with 30, I could see you having, you know, potentially all different people or whatever, but, like, are there any teams like us in Oregon or somewhere outside of our market that, like, have you ever thought about putting teams together that are kind of going through the same stuff, you know, kind of having, like, accountability partners or, you know, some type of day-to-day type?
It's a good idea. I did it always. Obviously, I did it all the time when I was managing in the region. I would bring top teams together to teach each other because I think it's one of the best ways you guys can learn. And then I'd have you become really good at one thing, and then I'd take you on the road with me, and you
right.
would be one of the speakers. And I would do that intentionally. I mean, that wasn't an accident that I'd help you to get really good at one thing. My intention was to have you get good at that and then to feel what it's like to be a top team in one thing. Then you'd want to be a top team in everything.
That's what our manager's doing with us with the Supernova thing. And we want to do them proud and everything.
Good. Now, he's smart. It's a really smart thing to do. And I'd take you guys all over the country and you'd like it. It makes you feel good. You know,
right. But from our standpoint though, it's like, we don't want everyone doing Supernova. Like I'm like,
don't worry. Trust me. They won't. And they won't do as well.
Yeah. I
tell people, don't worry about sharing your ideas because nobody's listening and nobody will adopt it. Okay.
Okay.
And no managers are willing to do the 5-time rule.
Right.
You got to be a maniac. You know, I was an obsessive, crazy maniac. And, you know, that's how, you know, Nick Saban is at my club here in Boca Grande, right? And he's a complete obsessive maniac. He can't even play golf casually. I mean, he has to win. He has to win, which I enjoy because that's the way I am. So, do Supernova, but take each part. Let's just work on time blocking the one thing for this week. Okay, get a center. I don't care if it's niche marketing or center of influence, but one of those two, and just do it and block it out, build a folder for it, and then make it happen, okay? Read the book. It'll give you the book will give you what you're asking for, which is help. Let me hear from other teams how they're doing it and being successful at it. That's what the book does. That's why I wrote it. So it would be easier for you guys. That's the idea, right? So, and then write a review. Do me the favor, okay? Remember, all the money, all this work I'm doing is supposed to provide scholarships for kids. I take nothing. Keep that in mind. So all the books you buy, and that all goes to a pot that goes to scholarships. We have 14 scholarships that we're giving now. We're very proud of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding us on that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We've given away, well, over 5 million, so it's really pretty good.
Good.
That's tremendous.
It's fun. It's fun. It's better than just retiring, right? It's much more fun. I keep you guys jumping, and I keep myself jumping, and keep some kids moving in the right direction. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Is it full college scholarships? Is that what it is, or?
It's yeah, they're not full. I mean, you know, most schools are crazy prices now, but it's a good number, and it's for 4 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And they're really good. And they're good kids. You know, I just spoke at Wake Forest University and was the keynote speaker for their their wonderful brunch they have for donors, for scholarship donors. And it was great. We had a student speak and then a recent graduate, and then I was the, they call him the forever, you know, the guy that's been out a long time but still engaged with the university. So that's fun.
I didn't realize you were a demon deacon.
I am a demon deacon. I played tennis there. So, and we were number one in the country last year, and I think we'll do it again this year. Won the national championship, both in team and singles. So, and our female golfer was the number one, won the national championship in golf.
Wow. Where is that?
We lost.
Was that Winston-Salem or where?
Yeah.
Winston-Salem, yeah.
Yeah, Winston-Salem, yeah.
Used to be them and Wachovia and the two big, after tobacco left, the two big employers in the city.
Yeah, when I was there, at R.J. Reynolds was big. And then Wachovia, and then now it's, it's a lot of different smaller businesses, and Wake has, bought the old tobacco buildings downtown and turned it into a technology center. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, guys, you're on the cusp of greatness. Keep it going. Have fun.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Okay.